one thing I really want people to think about is, as activists, it's very easy for us to identify the problems. March against Monsanto, Federal Reserve, oil company, this and that. But how often do we stop and say, how am I contributing to that, you know?
You're listening to The Corbett Report.
Welcome, friends. James Corbett, CorbettReport.com, coming to you on the 30th of October, 2017. And today we are talking once again to Derek Brose of the Conscious Resistance Network at theconsciousresistance.com. You will, of course, remember Derek from several appearances in the past on this program. We talked to him this past April about his new book, co-authored with John Vibes, Manifesto of the Free Humans. We talked to him in February about the recent appointment of Jeff Sessions as Attorney General and what that portends for the Department of Injustice. We talked to him last October about Freedom Cells, freedomcells.org, and the Freedom Cell Solution. And we talked to him October 2015 about agorism and counter-economics. So he's been on several times. I will put the links to those previous conversations in the show notes for this conversation. But Derek, it's great to have you back on. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm honored to have been on so many times.
Yes. Well, it's good to have you back for an update, because you are always a whirling dervish of activity. And speaking of which, since we last talked in April, you've been a whirling dervish of activity, whirlwinding around the United States on your Freedom Cell tour and taking that on the road. Tell us about your tour, how it went, where'd you go, who'd you see, what did you meet?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, James, for letting me come back, because really, you know, you mentioned the agorism interview and the Freedom Cells, and then the last one, which I don't know if the video did such a good job because of the title you gave it, the philosophy oligarchs don't want you to know, if that just, you know, got everybody interested and curious. But I also had plenty of people tell me that that was one of the best conversations that you and I had, and one of the better interviews that I've done over the years. So that's nice to hear. And the reason for that, I think, is because we covered such a vast amount of information, not only talking about the book, but I believe I did mention at that time, because that was April or so, the book had just come out, that we were planning this tour. And the tour idea evolved over time, and it really became something more than I even imagined it. But essentially, when the book came out, when Manifesto of the Free Humans came out, and we spent the last couple of years talking about Freedom Cells, and I've done interviews with yourself and others talking about this concept, I realized after the book came out that the concept was probably best spread, shared, explained face-to-face, person-to-person, community, ground level, grassroots level, and that the tour would be a perfect way to spread that idea as well. And also, over the years with the Conscious Resistance and with my message, which, you know, is about the practical steps we can take to remove ourselves from systems of oppression and systems of power, as well as the personal development, what some would term spiritual side of things, and how those two play a role together. That's what the Conscious Resistance is about. And so I wanted to be able to bring that aspect with the tour. And so we started brainstorming, and it became first just saying, okay, I'm going to do a book tour and talk about these ideas and explain what Freedom Cells are and break down the concepts that we explain in Manifesto. And then we wanted to add meditation to it, because that's been a great tool to me over the years, and science continues to back up the value in that. And I think it's a great way for people to connect themselves, kind of clear through the clutter and get to the root of who they are as people, find their principles, find their values, all these great things. So we wanted to make that a part of the tour. And then my housemates here at the Freethinker House, where we grow the Freedom Cells concept, where we've been developing this the last couple of years, they're all musicians. So they came along and we had some music. So it ended up being where we did what ended up being called the Decentralize Your Life Tour. And every single stop that we visited, which ended up being 48 cities over 9 weeks, 2 weeks across Texas, because Texas is massive where we're at, and then another 5 weeks just across the West Coast and Midwest, and then finally 2 weeks on the East Coast. So 9 weeks total, 48 cities. And every single city that we visited, the goal was to come there to share our ideas, so to talk about the things that we're doing, but also to contribute in each community and to do these action days. And I do believe I mentioned this last time. It was great how it ended up working out. Basically, every city we visited, we would come. I get there ideally, you know, sometimes we're rushing, getting there a little bit late, but ideally we'd get there in the afternoon. We'd have this action day, which would consist of either going out and feeding the homeless, some type of homeless outreach, or we cleaned up a couple of parks, we cleaned up some beaches, volunteering at community farms and urban farming, really trying to put volunteerism in action and show people we're going to take care of our communities and show people that we don't need the state and things like that. So we had the action days, got our hands dirty, went out there and talked to people, met some people, and that was always interesting. And especially whenever volunteers from the city would come get involved, and they're like, oh, I'd never heard about this great urban farm in my own backyard. Maybe I should start getting involved here. Or, oh, I'd never really done this before. I know there's homeless people in my city, but I've never done anything about it. So try and inspire them to action as well. And in the evening, we would have the main event where my partner Miriam would lead a 20-minute guided meditation to kind of introduce people to that concept. And then my housemates would discuss their experience living in the Freethinker House and working on the Houston Freedom Cell. And then I would give about an hour, hour and a half presentation, really in depth on what is agorism, counter economics, what is freedom cells, and then talking about what John and I started calling in the manifesto holistic activism or holistic anarchism. That was really kind of the new part that we've been developing further since the book came out. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to get back in touch with you and to share these ideas with everybody, because, you know, we wrote them, we put them into on paper, and people responded well. People continue to respond well. We got to sell a lot of books and give away a lot of books on the tour, and just so thankful for everybody that contributed and helped us. I mean, because really, I'm the face. I'm up there speaking for an hour and a half each night, but there's over 100 to 150 people across the country who helped make this happen, between the volunteers helping us find venues and helping us find places to volunteer at. Giving us places to sleep, you know, giving us food, just all kinds of things. And of course, I do have to mention that we were sponsored by Bitcoin.com, which is, you know, Roger Ver, the people behind that, they support agorism, they support volunteerism. So that's why they chose to fund our tour. And we ended up getting a $10,000 investment in the tour in Bitcoin. So that's $10,000 worth of Bitcoin that's not going to be reported to the IRS, that's not going to be taxed and going towards any wars or anything. And it's all gone now anyways. It went towards the tour. It went towards feeding us, paying for all our costs and everything, because I definitely am not at a point where I can do it in my pocket. And really thankful for that, because it allowed us to visit all these people and to spread this idea. And everywhere we go, we had like the tour logo on the car and Bitcoin.com stuff on the car. And everywhere we go, people are like, what's that Bitcoin about? I keep hearing about it. So it was just a great opportunity to have conversation with people about growing their own food, about decentralizing from the economic system, whether alternative currencies or cryptocurrencies, trying to get them to look at alternative decentralized education via the internet and different resources that we have available now, and just different ways to, again, look at the holistic perspective, not just focusing on politics, economics, just those aspects. Obviously, they're important, but trying to get people to focus on the bigger picture. And I'll just wrap this up now, because I'm kind of long-winded here on this answer. But I do want to say that it was such a big humbling experience to go anywhere and have, you know, one or two people anywhere, or even a big crowd of people care to come meet me or hear the things I have to say. As you know, James, it's such a humbling experience and a rewarding experience, and kind of more fuel to, like, all right, just keep going. You know, there's people out there who feel alone and they just need connection and they need a little bit of seed. And, you know, for people to email and follow up and say, hey, since you guys came to town, we're now having meetings. You know, they're meeting new people at the events and I encourage them at the events, like, hey, if you came out here tonight and you're looking around, you're seeing faces you don't know, make a connection tonight. Use the Freedom Cell website, start a group, do something. Don't go home and just go back to the same old thing you've been doing. Like, make this be about something. And we were working with Libertarian Party people, Green Party, Zeitgeist movement, Ubuntu movement, anarchists, and everything across the spectrum. You know, not people that I would agree with on every issue, but people who are looking for solutions. And the high school, the college kid, to the 60, 70, 80-year-old grandmother who's quietly admitting to us, yeah, I'm an anarchist. You know, that was pretty cool too as well. So just such a wide variety of people. And that was a goal of mine as well. I've been making more of an effort the last 6, 7, 8 months to not focus my work, my journalism, you know, philosophical work on the libertarian movement, the liberty movement, so to speak, in the United States, because I see that the message has value and it resonates with people on a wider spectrum. But so many people get caught up in the dogma of trying to make sure they only work with this kind of people or this kind of people, or they have to understand, you know, libertarianism before I work with them or whatever. And they just create a bubble and a niche, and it's just getting smaller, I think. And I want to reach more and more people. And I recognize that this message does have a universal appeal. Especially some people will come like, hey, I didn't know anything about you. That's my favorite. When people come there, they have no idea who I am. A friend just randomly invited them, or they heard about it in one of the local papers or something. Or they came because they heard there was a meditation. And then all of a sudden they're hearing all these new ideas and they're just like, wow, like, okay, let's work on this together. And just so rewarding. So overall, I think it's a success. And I hope that more people will make efforts to actually communicate with people locally. That's a big part of this strategy for me.
Well, that's such an important point, that if we want to grow this movement, whatever it is, we have to talk to people who aren't already in the movement. We have to expand it into other people and be willing to talk to and work with people who don't agree with you on everything. And unfortunately, the online environment is such that it becomes a type of a dick measuring contest, not to put too fine a point on it, where it's always about who's the most pure and who has, and if you don't agree with me 100% in every way, then you're a shill, and all of that is just the standard discourse online. Whereas in reality, when you're meeting people face to face, it doesn't generally devolve into that quite so quickly. You can actually see someone eye to eye, literally, and find ways that you can agree with them rather than fight with them. And you raise another important point in this, which is when you do those face-to-face meetings, I always encounter the same thing. When I was in Denmark, when I was in the Netherlands, when I was in Mexico, I'm meeting all these people, and time after time, the vast majority of the people who come to these events where I go to speak are people who are interested in this, and they just want to talk to other people about this, but everyone in their life, their family or whatever, just calls them crazy conspiracy theorists or whatever, and they're just looking for that human connection. And that's what so many people are looking for in all of this, and I think it's important to rediscover the human face-to-face connection rather than just the online space.
No, absolutely, and I think that's another really important point to hit on, because that's, for me, going and doing these tours, like, I'll kind of give you just a brief outline of what my presentation was about. We're actually going to be releasing the full thing in the next couple of weeks from the meditation. We'll film the whole meditation. We're going to edit it and put graphics up, and then the guys will give their talk and I'll give my presentation. But I get to share my story of what brought me to this message, you know, as an anarchist, and obviously get kind of introducing myself to some people who don't know anything about me. So I talk about my journalism, but I get into the specifics, and I'm not going to get into it now. I've told this story now at least 50 plus times. But basically talk about going through my struggles with drug addiction, with depression, and with suicide, and going to prison, the changes I had to make, including meditation and other forms of self-reflection, and trying to get at the root of why I was making these self-destructive behaviors and decisions. And then later I found, you know, anarchism, I found Ron Paul, I found conspiracies and conspiracy truth, and started to do this research. So for me, I had this awakening, so to speak, on a more personal, spiritual level of like, wow, I need to change things in myself in order to, you know, care. And once I did that and I found love for myself and value in myself, I felt like a cloud had been lifted, and all of a sudden I started looking at the world again, and I learned about the drug war when I got out, and that was the first thing of like, wow, okay, what else have I not been told about? And I went from there, and along the way I started to realize, okay, so if I was suffering then, like if you had come to me, or, you know, this is what I tell people, if you come to me with the issues that you care about, environmental destruction, surveillance, whatever the issue is, think about what the thing you care about, I would have listened to you at the time, I would have been concerned, but I wouldn't have done anything about it, because at the time I was just trying not to kill myself, or not just trying to get through another day, you know? And I realized, okay, there's so many people who are hurt, who are distracted, who are exhausted, who are dealing with these traumas that we pick up because of the system we were born into. And they deal with it by alcoholism or drugs or sex or gambling or whatever sort of distraction they can do. Maybe, you know, I'll have people come up to me and say, I've never touched a drug in my life, but this is how I struggled. Thank you for sharing your story, because it helped me see that we all struggle in different ways. And so as I started to have these realizations over the years and came to the term the conscious resistance and this message bridging these two worlds, I realized if we have people who are suffering, who are distracted, who are hurt, and who haven't dealt with those things, they're going to fall into all kinds of manner of manipulation, distraction, and they will not be able to lead themselves to the truth. Even if they all, you know, there's a lot of traumatized people within the truth movements, I would say even. Like you said, people who feel alone. I mean, I've been holding activist meetings consistently for 7 years now, and without a doubt, every time I hear somebody say, I feel alone, I feel like my family and friends think I'm crazy. It's a stereotypical thing, but it's so true. And people come to these conferences, they come to these events to try to find connection. And that's what I was trying to look for. Now looking back, I'm like, wow, that's what I was initially looking for when I was just drowning in drugs and whatever else. I was looking for some authenticity, a real sense of connection and community. And that's what drove me to activism and to starting these groups. And so it's a really, again, just a humbling experience to come there and to share that message with people and to say, look, and now look around you. You have people here. You have the potential for a community right here in your own city. You have the potential for that connection. So if you feel alone, you came here feeling alone, don't go home without, you know, making connection here with somebody. And, you know, trying to start working locally. Because that's the other part of the message, is I talk about my story, then I get into what is agorism, what is counter-economics, and we've covered that already plenty of times, so people can go watch those videos if they want to start there. And then I get into more of what the book talks about, I give a bunch of different tools for decentralization. We've covered in the past everything from Arcade City to Self401 to the Freedom Cells website, Nextdoor.com, EDX for decentralized education. On that, I want to say I'm currently taking a physics class and two journalism classes for free, taught by Columbia University professors, that if I want to pay extra, I can get a certificate for my resume or what have you. But it's just because I like to learn, and it's free and available out there. There's so many just opportunities for decentralized income, for education, talking to people about growing their own food, and again, trying to get people to look at that holistically. And so that I cover all of that, and the way I end the talks, the way I've been ending them, is by explaining the next project that I'm going to work on. And this is another reason I wanted to talk with you, because it's kind of an addendum to the Manifesto of the Free Humans. I think that book stands on where it's at, but I also, after reading it and rereading it throughout the tour and just kind of looking at, okay, what do I want to focus on tonight, and seeing certain areas, there's some areas where I feel like I understand what we wrote, but they might need a bit more explaining. And, you know, if you'd like to, I'd love to share that with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I can't remember what chapter it is specifically, but it's a couple times in there for listeners who want to check it out. All the books are downloadable for free. Theconsciousresistance.com/books. You can download the whole trilogy. But in Manifesto, towards the end, we're getting to talking about this, as I was just talking about, the conscious resistance, the struggle for a more free ethical world, and both the physical world, identifying the political structures, the corporate structures that, you know, interfere with our lives, which is what journalism helps poke, you know, point at and draw conclusions about. But then also that personal struggle against your own internal tyrant, your own doubts, fears, insecurities, your own self-limiting thoughts, and how those work together. And in the book, we say what is needed is for each individual to take an honest self-assessment of their actions and their behaviors in order to identify consistencies, and then, you know, take proper steps to rectify it. And we mentioned this self-assessment idea a couple of times, but as I was rereading it, I'm like, well, okay, I know what I meant when I said that. Yeah, like, you know, get to know yourself on a deeper level. Basically, a process I took myself through when I was locked up in prison. It just chose to use that time for something. Let me get to know myself and try to understand my choices and my decisions that led me to this present situation. So we wrote that a couple times, but I was like, maybe that's vague. Maybe people are going to read through it and they think it sounds nice, but there's no action that takes place after that. So while on tour, I've actually started developing this self-assessment, and I'm now calling it holistic self-assessment. I'm not sure what the final name will be, but it's not going to be a full-fledged book, like 100 pages or anything like that. At most, I'm hoping I can get this down to 20 pages or so, because I want it to be a workbook, and it's going to be meant for each individual to take, you know, to write in and to really – it's the kind of thing that the more time you put into it, the more you're going to get back from it. So I feel like it's a supplement to Manifesto of the Free Humans, because we talk about the practical tools. We get into the agorism, here, try these solutions, do freedom cells in all these different ways. And then we kind of wrap it back up in talking about the holistic perspective. And that's where this self-assessment comes in. So whenever I'm talking about holistic, I define it as coming from the philosophy of holism. And holism is the philosophy that focuses on studying whole systems rather than individual parts, rather than breaking something down and looking at the individual pieces, you study the whole thing. And so this is, you know, shown itself in a variety of fields. You have everything from holistic psychology to, of course, holistic medicine, right? The holistic medicine, it's the idea is to look at the whole body and to look for the root of a illness rather than just simply treating the symptom, you know, so to speak. So holistic ecology is the study of the environment. It's the study of humanity as one single entity rather than separating them into individual parts. And when you do, whether it's holistic medicine, holistic psychology, or holistic ecology, it really has some interesting implications in the way you view a subject. And so in the same sense, when we talk about holistic activism, or more specifically to my beliefs, holistic anarchism, it means to look beyond just the economics, just the politics itself, and to start looking at these areas and seeing in which ways are you contributing to the problems that you see. again, taking a holistic perspective. I don't say this out of judgment per se or shame on anyone else in this whole process. The holistic self-assessment isn't meant to be like, oh, look, you're living wrong. Like, you know, you're the problem, because it's for each individual. The goal is that you'll look at this and be like, wow, okay, like I have some inconsistencies here staring me in the face. Like, and maybe people will decide, you know what, this whole fighting for freedom, changing the world thing is too much work. I'm just going to go back to work and go to sleep and do whatever. Like, I don't want to, that's a lot of work. I hope that people will be like, wow, okay, let me start there. Let me take this first simple step towards aligning my thoughts, my actions. What book did you pull out?
Yes, you saw. Well, I was just going to make the point that you're pointing out the holistic view of approach as opposed to the atomistic or molecular view, which of course is the molecular vision of life that was of course developed by Caltech and the Rockefeller Foundation as the foundation of our modern conception of life and how we study and break apart what is a human life. Oh, it's the molecular vision. We have to get down to the molecular. And what is the end result of that? It's all about genetics, and then it's about genetic manipulation and engineering. Exactly. We can design better humans. Let's manipulate this part and that part. And even as creepy as all of that is, I think fundamentally it's wrong, because we can't create life at the genetic level. It is a holistic thing. It's an emergent property from a number of different things, and you can't separate those things out.
They want to remove the emotion out of us, and like we know, it's like the goal is using eugenics to get people down to just like material goods. We need worker bees here. They just allocate us like resources, and they take the spirit out of humanity, basically.
Exactly. And you make an important point that you can't build a big structure on a foundation of quicksand. And so many people who are getting into this conspiracy culture and libertarian movement and whatever else they're joining are themselves quicksand. They haven't that center upon which they can construct a foundation. And I think that's such an important point. So I'm looking forward to seeing that self-assessment. But let's back up the train a little bit, because at the end of each year, James Evan Pilato and I do a special edition New World Next Week called New World Next Year, where we look at the big trend of the past, or a big story from the past year, and we look at a big trend for the next year. And I think it was 2014 or 2015, I said that, the trend for the next year is going to be going from conspiracy to community. And my idea was that rather than focusing on every conspiracy story that comes along and, oh, we got to pick apart the lies from the mainstream media, people would start to focus more on building community and focusing on community in various ways. And I had no idea what form that would take, but I was just thinking this is the way that this should be going. We should be more on community organization and helping each other out in mutual aid and, you know, feeding the homeless and whatever. Doing those types of things is 1,000 times more important than scrutinizing every lie in every mainstream media story. But that turned out to be, of course, something of a pipe dream, as unfortunately the conspiracy community is still all about conspiracy and very little about community. But you're living that dream, I think. You're doing that. And you mentioned that as part of this tour. And during the day, before the presentation, you'd be out in the community doing something. Tell us about those types of experiences. What did you guys do on the tour?
Yeah, absolutely. So that the reason I wanted to do that, well, for one, I can't take the credit for the idea. There's been so many awesome people that have inspired me to think more, obviously holistically, but to include an element of environmentalism in my activism. And I know that many people, especially, again, like the conspiracy culture, the libertarian culture, people who are very skeptical of the government, who are aware of Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 and all these different types of programs, whatever they're calling it now, are aware and suspicious of terms like sustainability. And I've seen like Aaron Hawkins of Storm Clouds Gathering, he's emphasized like, well, if you phrase it like local resilience, people are like, oh yeah, localism, that makes sense. So let's support that. So some people are very weary of this in their activism, or they assume that if you care about the environment, then you must automatically want the government to fix it or to do something about that, which is not at all what I promote. In fact, it's the exact opposite, that I do care about the environment like everybody should. I mean, this is the planet we live. It has everything that we need and keeps us alive, and it's been here for so long. I mean, I have my own personal reasons and spiritual reasons, but on a general human level, we should probably care about what's happening to the planet. It doesn't necessarily need you to, you need to buy into all the propaganda that they put out about humanity's the problem. And that's what I try to counteract with my environmental activism, is that we need to take action. You know, if we're gonna see the problems, we can't just say, oh, because we know the government wants to use environmental causes for their own ends, we should just totally abandon them and not care about the environment, or we should reject out of hand every single solution because you believe it's, you know, feeding into Agenda 21. I mean, at the same time, like, Agenda 21 and all those things are problematic because they're done through force. If people chose to voluntarily take actions that were going to create better systems for the environment, better food production systems, food distribution systems, all kinds of, I mean, we have so much technology out there that exists, and of course if we get the state out of the way, a lot of beautiful things. My point is that I want to bring in that element in there, and I was inspired, I'll name two people specifically, as far as the Action Day label, there's a producer named Polish Ambassador, and so he performs, he just travels around and doing his tours, his music tours, but he does the same thing. He'll actually do like two days in one city, where one day is the all-day volunteering activity, and then the next day is his performance. And so there's different musicians who've kind of caught on to this, and they're touring and they're doing that. And it's beautiful. It's like, wow, they're bringing in more than just come pay us money to hear us, you know, perform. They have the same idea. They want to give back. So I was inspired by that. And also a guy by the name of Rob Greenfield, who, if you, anybody who hasn't heard of Rob, definitely should check him out. He's got a book called Dude Making a Difference. And again, doesn't call for government action. He's an extreme environmentalist. He does things like, okay, I'm going to ride a bamboo bicycle across the country for 6 months, and I'm going to eat only out of dumpsters to highlight how much waste there is in America. And, you know, he does really extreme things. He's like, okay, I'm going to wear all my trash for 30 days. How much waste the average American produces in 30 days. And he's got a lot of attention and coverage and stuff. But I just appreciate that he doesn't go out there trying to get people to sign a bill or to ask the government to do it. He's just saying, like, I'm going to use my energy, my time, my resources to be an extreme example in hope of at least inspiring people to make some small steps towards that. So that was kind of what we were thinking. And so the Action Days, like I said, we cleaned up Venice Beach in L.A. We were out in some other part of California. We cleaned up like an RV park. There was a couple other parks we cleaned up. We did a lot of gardening on the Texas tour. On the East Coast tour, we stopped at a wildlife sanctuary. They had like crocodiles, they had pigs, they had all kinds of crazy animals. So, I mean, it's like a fun experience. I'm getting out there to go play with animals and put my hand in the dirt and learn and talk to people who are active in their community, and they're getting to hear about our tour and hopefully get a little bit of inspiration from, you know, what we're doing. And it's a reciprocal thing. It's a mutual benefit. And it was a really great experience. Another thing that we were doing as part of the Action Days, again, inspired by holding his trash with him. Basically what his project was called Trash Me, and he wore this special suit where the average American produces up to 4 pounds of trash a day. 4 pounds a day, 30 days a month, 12. I mean, the numbers are staggering. It's insane. And so Rob encourages, as I do, a low-waste lifestyle, close to zero-waste lifestyle as possible, and just to start thinking about your, again, thinking holistically about every action you're taking, and not just purchasing power, like what companies am I supporting by buying this, or what industries am I supporting by buying this, but okay, how is this going to go affect the future generation? Because I promote not only, of course, the non-aggression principle and self-ownership, but also the seventh generation principle. It comes from indigenous communities from around the world, just thinking in that long term. Like, okay, is this plastic wrapper I'm about to throw on the ground kind of, you know, just absentmindedly going to have an impact on future generations? Where is that going to end up? Just all these kind of things, taking that into consideration. So when Rob did his Trash Me thing, he's like, I'm going to try to live like, and his average is he produces like 0.25 pounds a day, something ridiculously low. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to eat like the average American. I'm going to eat sodas. I'm going to go to McDonald's. I'm going to eat all this stuff and just try to produce 4 pounds. I think he was able to produce 3 pounds when he was trying. and by the end of the month, of course, he's like walking around with his trash all over him. And people, it's a conversation starter. People are like, what the heck are you doing? And he's like, well, did you know that Americans produce blah, blah, blah. And it's just this great thing. So on our tour, we wanted to do something similar. I wore the trash that we had for a couple of days, like just tied around me, but it was a little too heavy. But basically between the four of us that were on the tour and in the last part, it was just me and Miriam. We are like, okay, every single piece of trash we make, from our groceries to things we pick up at the stores, we're going to put in our pockets. We're going to bring it back here and keep it in our trash bag. And then we waited a few times throughout the tour. I know there was a period in the second part of the tour where after 2 weeks between the four of us, we produced like just under 20 pounds, which is pretty good for four people over 2 weeks. You know, it's definitely under the average American. I'm actually planning to try to push a campaign into the activist truth movement pretty soon about like just do it for a week, see how little waste you can produce in a week just by changing your actions. And so again, like the whole goal is it's volunteerism in action. I don't understand why it's not so obvious to many people. It's like, well, okay, the whole philosophy talks about creating a voluntary society where all interactions are consensual and voluntary. Well, that means we eliminate government, we eliminate force. So that means we have to take care of ourselves. If I want people to believe that, then maybe I should show them what it looks like to have somebody taking care of themselves, or what communities taking care of themselves look like. So I also did my best to document this. We did daily update videos from the tour. If anybody wants to go back, there's a playlist on our channel just to kind of keep up with, here we're visiting the farm, here we're at the garden, hey, we're doing this, and just showing people. You may feel alone out there, but there are so many people, not just in the United States, because people outside the United States, I've been contacted from Africa, Europe, you know, all over Canada, who want us to come do this in their city, who they think my city could benefit from this. Or I'm sure there's other people I could meet if you guys showed up here and did this, you know, and people are really hungry for solutions. So if you're an activist, if you're a researcher, if you're a content creator, I would advise, like, as you're saying, James, like, we can talk about, you know, obviously we got to report on the news because it affects us, but I definitely get, you know, jet lag, get exhausted from just like, oh God, here's another surveillance story. Let me rehash this one more time and see if anybody picks it up this time. You know, so you can only take so much of that. I was just talking with the guys from the anti-media about that too. We were brainstorming on how do we keep people interested, because it's not just articles anymore that's getting people's attention. We have to be more creative, and I think it's solutions. People want to see solutions. People want to see these ideas in action. And that's a big part of the tour. That's why we did the action days part of it. And I really don't think it would have been the same without it. I'm happy to say, like, to be able to look back and be like, okay, we contributed to 48 different cities in a variety of different ways. And not just with the sharing of the message, but actually giving our time and energy.
Yeah, it's right. It's about moving beyond conspiratainment into, well, how do we actually apply this information in reality? And I'm glad you brought that up, because, of course, one of the straw men that I get to contend with so often is people saying that because I'm against, you know, UN Agenda 21 and their version of sustainable development and all of this nonsense that they've created, that means I don't care about the environment or something. No, I'm like every other human being. I do care about the environment, but that's exactly why I hate so much what the UN and these organizations are doing. Oh, let us take it over and we'll develop it our way. Don't worry your pretty little heads about that. No, it has to be about us taking the action in our own hands to preserve and protect the environment in the way that we know best, rather than leaving it to some international body run by eugenicists and oligarchs. It's absolutely ridiculous. So no, yeah, it's always a straw man that people want to build up. If you don't want to go with the UN version of Agenda 21 sustainability, then you don't care about the environment. Ugh. Anyway, yeah, so it's good to see this being applied in action, in reality. And as you say, people can go to your YouTube channel. You have dozens and dozens of videos up from your Decentralize Your Life tour, including decentralized dumpster diving and all sorts of very interesting and creative things that you were getting up to. So I hope people will check that out. And of course, as you mentioned, the books themselves are available at theconscienceresistance.com/books. Just go to theconscienceresistance.com and check out the whole website. Are there any other places you'd like to direct people to?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. If I could have just another moment, I'd love to wrap up what I was describing about the self-assessment, because that's, if the listeners take anything home, obviously the tour is a big part of what we just wrapped up. But this is probably the key thing that I would enjoy people to remember. I will say we're going to do this tour again. We've already confirmed with Bitcoin.com that they want to support us again next year. I had a total of 70 cities reach out across the U.S. We were only able to do 48. So the goal is to expand next year and to do, you know, I'm definitely not going to be on the road for 12 weeks straight. So we'll probably break it up in, you know, a couple weeks here and a couple weeks there. But I do plan to go across the U.S. again next year and into Canada and probably into some of northern Mexico as well. And people are asking for Europe. I don't know if I'm at the point where I can justify flying over there and spending a few months there, because it'll definitely be a good trip. But that's coming in the future. And my goal, I mean, the plan is, as we've talked about in past interviews, we put out the book. I'm basically trying to build the counter economy. I'm trying to lay the groundwork for the ideas that I believe will help us exit and vacate from the state that Samuel Konkin predicted through agorism, through counter economics, using freedom cells as the mechanism that allows that to happen, helping build these groups. So this tour was just the first of at least three that I envision. The next one is just going to go around, visit as many cities as possible, sharing these ideas, maybe go into more in depth. By the third tour, I hope to spend more time in specific cities, maybe cities that have projects already happening where I can be there and I can learn, or they just need a little bit of push, or places where it's the exact opposite, where people say they have potential and people who want to do things, but they don't know how to get started. And so, yeah, that's where I plan to go. And if everything goes well, the vision was 2020 to launch an intentional community building principles. I am somewhat rethinking that in light of just how militarized the border is getting, really thinking about leaving the United States, to be quite honest. But either way, I will be doing these tours and promoting this message. And as I mentioned, now that the books are out, they're going to be in circulation. I'm going to keep promoting them. I'm just going to release this self-assessment. It will be available to download for free, but I will have physical copies because I want people to be able to ride in it, to take yourself through this, asking yourself, who are you? Really think about that question. Look at yourself. Look at your state your goals. Look at your principles, look at your habits, your daily routine, look at your personal relationships, much beyond just the political picture and the economic picture, and start to look at the problems that we see holistically. You know, the one thing I really want people to think about is, as activists, it's very easy for us to identify the problems. March against Monsanto, Federal Reserve, oil company, this and that. But how often do we stop and say, how am I contributing to that? You know, people rising up all around the country, marching against Monsanto, but then as soon as they leave, they go back and they're celebrating, eating at and supporting pesticide industries, people marching against the Federal Reserve, then they go by and end the Fed shirt with Federal Reserve notes, and they're not thinking holistically. They're working against themselves. So that's what this message, holistic activism, holistic anarchism, you can check it out more in the book. And I also plan to release in the coming, hopefully if I can buckle down this week, I'm going to put out an essay that's just going to be titled, What is Holistic Activism / Anarchism? That'll break it down even further, and it's going to explain a bit about the assessment. So that's the goal, is give people a handbook, let them, you know, the power is in your hands. Do you want to seek change? Here's a way to identify your inconsistencies, and here's a way to change and to fix them and start becoming the best version of yourself. And I will say, just from me taking myself through this, and I've got a few different people who are kind of being my guinea pigs that we're going through this together, it's allowed me to already have that mirror reflected back to me and be like, okay, yeah, I can strengthen in some of these areas, like not just, you know, but just as a person in general, you know. So that's what I'm working on now, and I hope people will look into that, because at the end of the day, it's not just economics or understanding of the oil barons and all the people behind the scenes. That information is absolutely important and valuable. It's why we create it. It's why James creates this. But we need people who are also looking at themselves and asking, how am I contributing to this? How can I improve myself and better myself and put the best version of myself out there? Because it spirals out. I've seen it happen in my life. People are inspired by that. You look at your friends, you look at family, you're like, wow, they're pursuing their goals. They're getting it, you know, it's inspiring to other people. If we do that, if we show people what it's like to live free and we create these examples in the physical world, we're going to see the idea spread. It's just going to take action. So it's up to us to decide, do we really want to achieve change, or do we just want to keep talking about it on the internet? Thank you, James.
That's the question. All right. As I say, we'll direct people to all of the different websites and videos and all the things we've mentioned in this conversation in the show notes for this conversation. Derek Burrows, I'm looking forward to talking to you again in the future. Thank you again for the update.
Thank you, James.
The Corbett Report is brought to you by the Corbett Report subscriber. A weekly newsletter featuring James Corbett's International Forecaster editorial, recommended reading and viewing, discounts on Corbett Report DVDs, and once a month, a subscriber-only video. Sign up today to start receiving your copy at corbettreport.com/support.